I've never really been the kind of person who wants what she can't have, except when it comes to Christmas. You know, the presents stacked under the trees, the frosted cookies, the ornaments that date back from infancy. I'm Jewish, but I have always, always been obsessed and coveted these things. Which is why I was really excited when I was a freshman in high school to be chosen as Milwaukee's most famous elf. As a young performer, I was completely without shame. I spent years as part of an Up With People clone called the Sunshine Kids. We wore turtleneck leotards and shimmer tights and sequined Yankee Doodle costumes. And we performed at every abandoned band shell and old home in southeastern Wisconsin. Me and my brother got dressed up sometimes in matching pink polo shirts to sing songs from Annie Get Your Gun, like at our eighth grade talent show. Eighth grade, old enough to know better. Once, and I have no idea why, we were hired to perform in the dimly lit reptile house at the Milwaukee Zoo. In 1986, at a campaign rally for Senator Bob Caston at Sir Paul in Milwaukee, I sang, "Everything's coming up, Reagan," for the president himself, even though at age 15 I already knew I was a Democrat. So I wasn't even embarrassed that my mother, every day between Thanksgiving and Christmas, my freshman and sophomore years of high school, would pick me up at my suburban high school. We'd drive downtown to the Gimbel's department store, and I'd put on this brown and green corduroy blazer, matching knickers, a pointy hat, dance shoes that curled up at the toes that had bells on them, and it was pretty ugly, but I didn't seem to mind. You know, the only time I really minded was I had to be in the last float, the Santa float, in the Christmas parade every year, and it was like 17 degrees and I was wearing tights. But this whole shebang was called Breakfast with Santa. It was this musical. Kids would come with their families. There was like really bad eggs in this show, and then of course a visit from Santa. And my character was Billy the Brownie. Billy the Brownie had his own radio show in Milwaukee from the 20s to the 50s, and he was a super big deal in Milwaukee. So much so that after the show, the kids would sort of flock to Santa, and all the grandmas would come to me to have their picture taken with Billy the Brownie. The show itself, the musical, was unnecessarily professional. You know, the writers, the director, the choreographer were among the best in Milwaukee. The actors were grown-ups who at night had, you know, real live jobs in a theater, a repertory theater just like this one. I got paid thousands of dollars each season for something I would have gladly done for free. I don't remember much about the plots, the singing and dancing. It involved a lot of this, you know, for the elf. Basically it sort of revolved around the eager anticipation at the end of Santa, who would show up and we'd all do a big production number that involved usually a kick line. It was great. Then my junior year, Marshall Fields bought Gimbel's, and they had no use for Billy the Brownie. That was Gimbel's thing. Actually, it was a Schuster's thing, and then it was Gimbel's thing. And so Billy was never heard from again, except for in an exhibit in the Milwaukee Historical Society's museum, for which they asked me, the last Billy in history, to donate my shoes, which is pretty cool. You know, Marshall Fields had its own dude. They had Mistletoe Bear. Yours for only $19.95 with purchase. And they had Leslie LaRusso, who was shorter than me, younger than me. She could fit into the, you know, fuzzy, adorable white mascot costume. She got to be Mistletoe Bear. But the producers were nice. They let me be the Sugar Plum Fairy, which in fact was a much cooler role than Billy the Brownie. I got to do a soft shoe dance with Mr. Candy Cane, and I got to do a duet with my friend Kay, this beautiful older woman who played the snowbird. The only thing was the costume was insane. I mean, it was like purple taffeta, feathers, ruffles all over, steel candy hat, and lots of glitter. I really liked showing up at school at fourth period, you know, and giving out candy canes to all my friends, but I still had all this glitter on my face. And this was the 80s, you know, somehow it was okay to have electric blue eyeliner inside your lid, but you couldn't wear glitter. So I got laughed at a lot, and then by the end of the day, it would sort of sprinkle down onto my trigonometry papers, and my teacher would complain. And then senior year, something happened. I got boobs, and I was no longer sprightly. So I got demoted. Basically, Leslie LaRusso, who according to Google and the New York Times is now a appealing and versatile professional actress, got to take over as the Sugar Plum Fairy. Her little sister got to be Mistletoe Bear, and I was relegated to a satellite performance at an already fading suburban mall, Marshall Fields. You know, there was no snowbird, no soft shoe, no Mr. Candy Cane, a very abridged performance, no eggs even, you know. Just me and Santa singing to this weak tape recorder instead of a live pianist and changing afterwards in the janitor's closet. Something of a come down. You know, a lot of people think it's strange that that I did this Christmas show for 4 years so ardently. You know, the same way they think it's strange that I still catch every invitation I can get to decorate friends' Christmas trees and listen to Christmas music all winter. But you know, I've never been that picky. When I was in college, I joined a gospel choir called the Ebony Singers, even though I'm not ebony. I'm not Christian, and in fact, I did not then, nor do I now, believe in God. So, but you know, at the same time, right before Ebony Singers practice every week, I was teaching Sunday school at synagogue, so my hypocrisy knew no bounds. I found out years later, there were two Santas during the 4 years I did the show, and I found out years later what had become of both of them, thanks to, of all people, my 95-year-old grandmother, who bizarrely had struck up friendships with both of them. The first Santa, Mark Cohn, Jewish like me, had, after becoming Santa, immediately gave back the hat and became the director of her synagogue. And the second Santa, Joel Eckhart, blonde, blue-eyed Joel Eckhart, after he stopped being Santa, he converted to Judaism, got married, and he joined the board of the most Orthodox shul in Milwaukee. And my grandmother got to know him. She actually fell in love with him and his family because she would hire him every month to come do these concerts she sponsored at her Jewish old home, High Point, I don't make that up, where Joel and his wife and kids, you know, would sing all these Hebrew and Yiddish songs. Joel, who, you know, years before I would see in his tidy whities in the janitor's closet every day, now doesn't even touch women. But, 2 years ago, my grandmother died at the age of 99, and Joel, on her request, sang at her funeral, and it was beautiful. He was amazing, and he was singing in Hebrew, and it was just, he was so good in a way that I could never discern when he was singing about, you know, good boys and girls waiting for their Christmas presents. It just seemed that Santa had a much easier time giving up Christmas than I ever did.